For those of you who weren't with us last week, we began a sermon series called Journey of Stones. And it's not something that we put together, okay? And everybody brought their stones except Mitch. I'm throwing him under the bus here today. Yes, you did. I told him he can bring it next week, but he won't be here. He's got Gideon work to do, and that's a good thing. So, but this series is produced by a pastor named Stephen Molan, and David and I are not preaching from it as per se sitting here and reading it. We're using it as a guideline and theme of bringing to you a series of messages. Which is really kind of nice because we've taken his idea and modified it a little bit, and the stone thing, you're supposed to put the stone according to what he has. You get the stone at the beginning of the service, and at the end of the service, you take it up and put it away. I want you to carry it for a week. David wants you to carry it for a week. I want you to think about that stone. I want you to think about where you are, because this is a season of Lent. And during this time, we are to ponder, to remember, and to think about the future, where we need to be. It's past, present, and future. Where we were, where we are, where we need to get to, and how these stones truly are a part of just who we are, and how often we need to remember and look forward. So the series, as I said, is one that is from someone else, but we're not preaching it per se to read it out of the book, okay? God is giving us the words that we need to speak to you, our congregation, as he delivers it to us. So believe me, when I sit down, I'm reading my sermon notes, okay? This is funny because this is notes. It's 2 pages of notes. Do you know how long I could preach on 2 pages of notes? We won't be here that long. But the amazing part is we're not the only ones doing this journey of stones. And that's what I want you to think about. How many other churches out there are using this tool and coming before the Lord in a similar manner? Because as the body of Christ, isn't it nice to know that we're not alone? And we're not the only ones in this boat. There's many, 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 many others. So today, as we begin, let us come together as we look at this journey of stones. Because I want to ask you all one very important question. My beginning question today is, how many of you have ever been rejected? Okay, and I want you to think about that. Because there are many forms of rejection, isn't there? We can be rejected from a job interview. We can be rejected by our parents as children. Okay, we can be rejected by friends. We can be rejected by family. We can be rejected from a boyfriend or a girlfriend that, you know, they break up with us, all right? There are so many different forms of rejection. My question to you upon that then is, how does it make you feel to be rejected? I think it's one of the most horrible things that happens in a human life because it hurts, doesn't it? It's discouraging. It makes us feel separate, that there's something wrong with me. And it's so amazing because if left alone or compounded, it'll drive us ever inward to the point where we become completely and totally unhealthy. And it literally gets to a point where we can destroy self or others because we have walked so far in that line of rejection and discouragement and abandonment. And it is a very dark place. God doesn't want us to be children of dark. God wants us to be children of light. So today we're going to speak about how we get from that place to where we need to be. Because let us remember, Jesus Christ was rejected also. But in his rejection, we now have redemption. And that is something to be happy about. So, if you would, take your Bibles in hand and turn to Psalm 118. Now, it's right before the very center of the Bible, Psalm 118. And I'm going to read it in its entirety. As we come together before the Lord, this psalm speaks to us something that I want us to grab a hold of here. Because remember, this psalm is given to us from the Israelites, from the Jewish people. And Psalm 118 is called one of the ascension psalms. As the people were going up to Jerusalem, this was one of the psalms that they would sing as they went up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And it says this from verse 1 in Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let the house of Aaron say his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say his loving kindness is everlasting. From my distress I called upon the Lord, and he answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I will not die but live and tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, Lord, do not save. Excuse me. Oh, Lord, do save, we beseech you. Oh, Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Blessed be the word of the Lord. Is that a proclamation of joy, or is that a proclamation of joy? I love this psalm, because when you read this psalm, you gather an idea that God's loving kindness is everlasting. Did you catch that? It's so amazing, because our loving kindness is not everlasting. We live in a world where 4 out of 5 new marriages end in divorce. Think about that. Is that everlasting? God's love is everlasting. When God receives us, when God writes our name in the book, he never rejects us. Okay? And we need to understand that. We may disappoint him. How many of you out there could raise your hand on that? Don't do that. But God never rejects us. He chastens us. That's why the scripture says he disciplines me ever so severely. Yet, I am not given over to death. Why? Because we're his. And his discipline leads us to life, not to death. God's loving kindness is everlasting. But the last part of this psalm says something, and I want us to understand that we need to look at this, and we all know this, right? Because we all know this from the New Testament. Jesus spoke this, okay? But I need you to understand, God spoke it to Israel first, because Israel was rejected by all the world. Israel was taken into captivity and made slaves in Egypt. For 430 years, they were slaves in Egypt. They were the epitome of peoples, okay? Because they were a nation without land. They were a people without a home. They were owned by somebody else. But yet, when they went into Egypt, they were completely and totally free people. And in living there, they were usurped into slavery through the government. It's an amazing thing. They were rejected. They were accepted in as one of. Because if you remember the stories, Joseph became the highest in the land, just under Pharaoh. He brought his family in. It was prosperous, and everything went well. Well, over time, those people all died. New people came in, and they took their privilege with what was there. And they became a rejected people. They became slaves. And even after they left Egypt, after God set them out as a nation and put them in the promised land, it's so amazing because all the lands around them would come against them and war against them. They would abuse Israel year after year after year after year. But a lot of that was because the Israelites were not walking properly with the Lord. That's the discipline of the Lord. Okay? But they were despised and rejected by all the nations around them because they were such a small nation. If you look at Israel, Israel is about the size of New Jersey. Okay? It's about the size of New Jersey, and it's a nation. That's tiny. That is tiny. So all these other countries looked upon them for two reasons. Number one, they were in good land. And number two, they were a weird people because they only had one God. And they thought he was the God of the universe. They thought he was the God of all creation. Because you see, all these other peoples, all these other religions, they had a panoply of gods. They had so many gods, you couldn't name them all. I mean, we've had ICII here, Independent Church in India. Do you remember what Pastor Brito told us? How many gods are there in India? 300 million. Think about that. 300 million gods. Which one do you pray to? Okay? Well, number one, we know because we have come under Christ that there is only one God. That monotheistic thought is very real because there can only be one God. Otherwise, all these gods would be warring in heaven, and what would it be like on earth? It would be hell on earth. Because they would all be competing with one another. There's only one God, and he doesn't compete with himself. He is complete, whole, and holy. So as we look at the backdrop of what's going on, what happened? God took this people that seemed to be nothing. They were the belly button lint of the world. Okay? And some of you people are like, what? You know what I mean. And he made these people to be the cornerstone. These were to be the people from which all other civilizations were to learn that there is one God. Because when you set a cornerstone, it is the most important stone in a house. Please remember, we're talking a time before modern era where we had levels and lasers and you could, you know, right now, we don't lay cornerstones anymore. They just start building. And they've got a laser out there, and it sits there, and it tells them how to set it level, straight, the whole nine yards. In this day and age, that cornerstone was the most important stone that was laid in a foundation, because from it, the rest of the building rose. Israel was meant to be that people, that nation, that group. He says, and you are my chosen peoples. They were to evangelize the world. They were to show the world the way to God. How did that work? Not so well, did it? Because again, they rejected God and his ways. Because when the Lord Jesus came, they were at such a place in their depravity that they wouldn't even recognize him. And it's so amazing because we're going to see here in just a little bit that the very things Christ spoke came true. But we need to understand that's what Israel's purpose was, to be that cornerstone. But something happened to Israel. What happened to Israel? Many of us are guilty of too. And there's a cornerstone that we've neglected. There's a cornerstone that we've ignored. And we've begun building in our direction, the direction we want to go. And when you do that, everything gets out of plumb. Okay? Do you know what I mean by out of plumb? Okay? You go to shut a door and it hits at the top and not at the bottom. Okay? You go to close a window and it gets stuck halfway down. Okay? When things are out of plumb, stuff doesn't fit. Doesn't work. That's how important that cornerstone is, because everything else built on top of it rests on that reality. My father, when we bought our farm years and years ago, boy, we're old. We're getting old. Took my dad along. He took me down into the basement. And I'm like, what's he want to see down here? Dad's checking out the floor and the walls. I'm like, Dad, don't you want to see the rest of the house? You know, it's a basement. And he looked at me and he said, son, you don't understand. He said, if the foundation's not level and it's cracked, nothing above it is worth a penny. Wow. My dad was a pagan then. Praise God. Right before his death, a dear brother in Christ brought him to salvation. And I will see my dad again one day. And I'm going to ask him, how's the foundation, Dad? And I know he's going to look at me and say, had to tear the old one down, but the new one is sure. And that's what we need to do. We need to make sure we stay on that sure foundation, because anything we build on a bad foundation is going to fall. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, to our second reading for today. Because rejection of that cornerstone has a price. We're going to be in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And your bulletin is wrong, and I do apologize for that because I, like a dummy, I copied it right out of the book. And they have Mark chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and they missed a number there. It should be Mark 1 through 12 in Mark chapter 12. So if you would, turn to Mark chapter 12, and I'm going to read to you the parable of the vine growers. From verse 1 in the 12th chapter, thus saith the Lord. And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a vat under the wine press and built a tower and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey. At the harvest time, he sent a slave to the vine growers in order to receive some of the produce of the vineyard from the vine growers. They took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent another slave, and they wounded him in the head and treated him shamefully. He sent another, and that one they killed, and so with many others, beating some and killing others. He had one more to send, a beloved son. He sent him last of all to them, saying, they will respect my son. But those vine growers said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. They took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine growers and will give the vineyard to others. Have you not even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they were seeking to seize him, and yet they feared the people, for they understood that he spoke the parable against them. And so they left him and went away. That parable strikes right at the very heart of each and every individual on planet Earth. Okay? Everything in the earth and thereof belongs to the Lord. We all say that, right? I can get an amen out of that one, right? Amen. Everything is his. This place where we all live, we're just here temporarily. God owns it. It belongs to God. We didn't create it. We are created ourselves, okay? Now, no, we weren't the original created people. We were procreated by the creation, because the creation, since the time of creation, has been recreating itself. It's able to procreate because God has built that into us intrinsically. All right? And it's so amazing because we begin that perpetual motion. God started it in perfection. Adam and Eve rejected the word of God and accepted the deception of the serpent, thereby releasing the cornerstone and starting in their own direction. And we've been building upon that foundation ever since. And that foundation got so vile at one point in time that God literally had to destroy everything except one family, because there was only one man and his sons who were righteous, and that was Noah. And God wiped everything out and he started over again. But you see, there was a problem. Because sin was still in these people, because they had been procreated through Adam. And we need to understand that that procreation through Adam still runs in our veins, because we are not holy. We are a broken people. We come from broken lineage. Okay? We are the image of Adam, not the image of God. You know, a lot of people out there, and you folks out there on the internet right now, probably going to get a lot of blasts about that. Please read your Bible. It's Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, okay? We are no longer the image of God. We are the image of Adam, fallen Adam. Now, within that image, there is yet a resemblance. But Christ has to come into our lives to bring us back. He is our what? Redeemer. That's why Jesus says we need to be born again. We were born into this flesh. Now we need to be born again into the Spirit of God so that we will once again be His. That's why, you know, there's so many people out there in the world right now that, you know, they'll say, well, God made me this way. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. Adam and Eve did. Because they left that cornerstone, everything that's been building ever since that period in time, because God never put another cornerstone in until Christ. Because now Jesus is that cornerstone. He says so right here. Israel rejected the cornerstone once again. So God had to start again. He tried to start again with Adam and Eve, or with Noah and his sons. But God knew that was going to fail. How did he know that? Because before the beginning of time, Jesus Christ crucified. I can't explain that, but it's the truth. That's revelation. God knew we were going to need him. Amen? So he made a way. He prepared the whole thing. He has set the foundations of the world since the beginning of time, and the foundation, the rock of our salvation. I just think this is so amazing. The rock of our salvation is who? Jesus Christ. And that foundation is from which everything came. Jesus himself is the Word of God, and the Word of God became alive. Remember, when he spoke in the beginning, that was Jesus Christ. Nothing has been made that has not been made through him. He is that sure foundation. So we all missed the mark because that foundation was laid. And guess what? God, in the Spirit, when we come back to him, sets us back at the beginning and gives us that foundation once again. And then we get to do what we're going to do with it. And it's my hope that each of us are going to continue to build on that foundation, that we're going to see that foundation that God has given us. But Israel rejected him. As we look at the word of God, he says, you know, he was going to send slaves, right? Jesus just spoke that. I'm going to send slaves, and you're going to beat some, and you're going to kill others. Isn't that what Israel did? We're talking about the prophets here. They told the people, do this or this is going to happen. And they would, you know, just shame them and beat them, abuse them. Many of them were killed because they didn't want to hear, kill the messenger, the message is dead. The word of God endureth forever. You can't get rid of it. Do you know in all of history, this book has been tried to be wiped out more than any other book. And you know what? Our own country is trying to wipe it out right now. That's a horrible thing to say, but it's the truth. Right now, okay? You need to hear this. This is funny. We're under review by Facebook. Because I preach the truth. We may have our Facebook page pulled. Praise Jesus. Because if I'm that offensive to you because I'm speaking my constitutional rights, then you go right ahead, pull it, and I'm going to have some lawyers on you. Because you're violating my constitutional rights to free speech. And they're going to say, oh, but we own the format. Wrong. You're United States citizens. You are bound by the Constitution as well. You cannot deprive me of my rights, even if I use your service. I'm going to have fun. We're going to have fun. Because Jesus Christ is our foundation, and he is sure. You and I need to understand, we cannot say we're one thing and then move into another. Because as soon as you do, you've changed foundations. You and I need to be in that sure foundation. When we, and I'm going to tell you all right now, okay? We've got some young people in here and we've got some others. You're going to move on in life. You may be here for a season. And I understand that as a pastor. While you're here, I'm going to try and lay the foundation of Jesus Christ in your life. And when you leave here, you know, for whatever reason it may be, you know, maybe you got mad at me. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm human. I'm going to fail you. That's, you know, that's natural. God will never fail you. I pray that you never throw out the foundation because the foundation is sure. I'm a man, okay? I'm going to do stupid stuff. I'm going to do things that you're going to say, well, he let me down. Well, yeah. I'm flesh and blood. But remember, there's one who will never reject you. Don't reject him. Move in that foundation. Stay in that foundation. Remain in the admonition of the Lord. No matter what comes into your life, because as soon as you reject it, now you've rejected Christ. Each and every one of us needs to understand. We do that all the time. We kill the prophets. You know, I think it's so funny because I am considered a prophet by many people because I speak the word of God and I mess up. So as soon as I mess up, oh, he's not perfect. He's a hypocrite. Yeah, I am because I'm not perfect. Okay? I used to think the church was filled with hypocrites. You know what? My opinion hasn't changed. I don't see anybody running for the door. You people out there on the internet, you need to hear that. We need to hear that. We say one thing and do another. We were just talking about that in discipleship. We say you shouldn't do anything on Sunday. How many of you are going for dinner right after church? Wow. The only reason those restaurants are open is because all the Christians go. We need to remember that God has set us free. I want you to understand, we need to look at the position of Christ and think about how do we reject him. In just a few moments, you're going to be receiving new stones. And as you receive those stones, I want you to think about how you reject him. You know, why do we reject him? Many times we reject Christ because of peer pressure. It's not popular, right? Oh, well, you know, I'm with these people. I can't. I think it's amazing. There are people who will say they're Christians, but in a public setting, can you tell them apart from anybody else? Do you know when we're doing that, we're rejecting Christ in those moments? And he sees it, and it's real. Why do we reject Christ? Well, as I said, peer pressure. Fear of rejection. Oh, how many of us love rejection? Okay? I love to walk right into it. You know, it makes me feel good. No, it doesn't. But do you know what? We need to remember, if we're walking in Christ, they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting Christ. We need to love them. I'm going to tell you right now, that's why, you know, I used to come at Christians and say, oh, you're just a bunch of hypocrites. Now I look at you and say, I love you, we're all a bunch of hypocrites. Because I know I are one. I wish I were perfect, but there are no nail prints in my hands. There's no spear mark in my side. Only Christ is there. He is perfect, and I need him every moment of every day. People are going to fall all around us, and we should not be kicking them while they're down. We need to get down there with them. Did you hear that? We need to get down there with them. That's what Christians do. Isn't that what Christ did with us? He didn't stay up there in heaven high and lofty. He came to us. He got right in our mess. And he raised us up out. On Easter morning, when Christ went to heaven and put his blood on the altar, the glory altar, you and I were right there with him. You better remember that. We were right there with him, because before the foundation of the earth, Jesus Christ crucified, every sin that was ever committed in that moment when he poured his blood on the altar in heaven, we were forgiven. We were right there with him that day. And all of heaven shouted glory to God. And there's a whole bunch of brothers and sisters that need to get there, and we ourselves need to get right. Brother David, Brother Bob, would you come up here? Oh, Pastor Dave. You hand them out on that side, you hand them out okay. On this side. I'm telling you, it's going to take me a while to get that one in my brain locked in there. I want you to take your stone. I want you to remember what it's given for this day. This stone is a symbol of Christ as our cornerstone. And I want you to think how often throughout your life, past, present, that you have rejected that cornerstone yourself. And how many times you have been rejected by this world. And how much we need the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Because without it, we are but rubble. But in Christ Jesus, we are part of that sure foundation that is being built up into living stones with Christ as our cornerstone. So over this next week, I want you to pray. I want you to think. I want you to remember. And I want you to come back next week prepared to lay it at the foot of the cross. And then you'll get a new stone, another one to carry for another week. For those of you who are visiting with us and you don't think you're going to come back, keep the stone. May it remind you of he who is our sure foundation. I need one before you go anywhere else. Thank you. See, even pastor gets them. Because I need it too. I need the love and saving grace of Christ every day of my life. As we take these stones and we remember that we have rejected Him, let us also remember that that cornerstone's not moving. And He's waiting there for us to simply come back, set our stuff to the side, and become part of His foundation. To be right and plumb. To be whole and holy. To be built up into a royal priesthood for the sake of the kingdom. And in the kingdom, what do? We love God, we love others, and we go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You with grace in our being because You've placed it there. We come, Lord God, with peace in our being because You have placed it there. But Lord, as we look back on our lives, we see through the reflection and remembrance of Your sacrifice just how we put You there. And yet even today, Lord, as we carry this stone in our pocket, we remember how we've even done it in just this past week. So Lord, we ask that You would forgive us, that You would help us to walk in this week of Lent to remember who You are. And whose we are, that we may stand before You whole and holy in Christ Jesus. That, Lord God, we are then prepared to go out into the world and share the rock of our salvation, who is Christ Jesus. Lord, guide us, keep us, and may we ever be sure.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.